And since the King James Version was all I had in the jail, you know, that's what I, you know, I got the word from. Amen. And call me crazy, but it's just something about some of the words in the King James Version that just hits a little harder than all the other. You know what I'm saying? Lord, have mercy. So I want to read the same verse from the King James Version. And it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh, that works in us." If you got a neighbor, turn to your neighbor and say, "I can't make it without him." Turn to another neighbor and tell him, because I think that neighbor wasn't listening, tell him, "I can't make it without him." And if it's all right with you, for a couple of minutes, I would like to arrest your intelligent attention with the topic of my sermon entitled, I can't make it without him. In fact, I don't even know what I would do or where I would be without the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit to walk this thing out the way I'm supposed to, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, the need of this Holy Spirit. And first of all, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a thing. He's not an it. He is a person that rests down on the inside of you. Amen. If you've accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, when you read the book of Ephesians, the entirety of the book, you will find out that the Apostle Paul is calling the church to be a balanced church. And when you look at the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 6, just six short chapters, the Apostle Paul, the leader of the church, has written this letter to call the people of God to be balanced Christians. And he's not talking about, you know, joking or drinking or being in the clubs or the bars. And this is important to make clear. But there was a thought process that has been for years crippling the earthen church. And the mentality is, it's okay to know scripture, be a Christian, and still have profanity as a second language. It's okay to have a few glasses of wine that has nothing to do with communion four to five times a week, as long as I make it to church on Sunday. This thinking gives fuel to the thought that too much of anything is not good for you. Lord, have mercy. Well, Unity Worship Center, I came today to tell you that in my 53 years of living, I have found out that I can't get enough of God. I can't get enough of his Spirit. And without them, I can be a whole hot mess. So in Ephesians, he is calling the church to be balanced. And he talks about the first three chapters. What he talks about in the first three chapters is discipline and doctrine. Discipline and doctrine. And he balances these things of doctrine and discipline. He wants to be sure that in chapters 1, 2, and 3 are doctrinal chapters. You know, what we know about God. But then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, these are discipline chapters. These chapters deal with what we do. So let's go back. The first three is what we know about God. Amen. But then the last three is what we do because of what we know about God. Let me say that again, because that felt good coming out. The last three is what we do on the strength of what we know about God. Amen. Now what I want you to understand is that in these six chapters of Ephesians, in the first three chapters, what Paul does is he balances our beliefs and our behaviors. He says that if you're going to be a balanced Christian, you have to be able to hold on to and embrace both your beliefs as well as your behaviors. Oh, God. It's your doctrine and discipline. What you know and what you believe, what you do and how you live out your faith. And if you read these six chapters, you will find out that sometimes Paul gives us some hard words. He gives us some serious language, some tough love to be sure that we are balanced, that we are balanced Christians. He helps us to understand that we can't just have a good time on Sunday in the Lord's house and be super spiritual. You know what I mean by that. You know, you speak in tongues, but you don't speak to people. There's something wrong with that. So we have to be the people who understand that the joy of the Lord that we experience in our gatherings together should be released into the earth realm tomorrow on the job. So this great leader of the church, Saul of Tarsus, whose name was changed once he was saved by the power of the Lord, and when we were transformed by the power of the Lord, his mandate, his mission became to make sure that everyone would know who the Lord Jesus is and what Jesus was able to do. Lord, have mercy. That's how it's supposed to be with all of us. We should know, we should be able to tell on sight who Jesus is, amen, and what he means to you. And not only that, what he can do for you. And so he gives us these three chapters on doctrine. And when he gets done with doctrine, at the very end of the chapter, watch this, he gives us a doxology. That's what you read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. You read a doxology. It's a praise. It is a praise party, a celebration and praise to a God that's just really been so good. And I don't know about you, but it is intriguing to me that after giving so much information about doctrine, he would end up with a doxology. Think about it for a minute. It's a real celebration to God. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Now I need you to notice the wording, because that's important. Because when you quote the verse, you need to quote the verse correctly. Because many times we often recite this verse incorrectly. We usually say exceedingly and abundantly. Lord, have mercy. When the word says exceeding abundantly. Now, don't get me wrong. The abundantly is nice, but God exceeds the abundantly that we could even imagine God could do. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The New International Version says, all we ask or imagine, that no matter how smart you may be, no matter how intellectual your thinking is, despite your level of education and the number of books you may have read, your mind cannot conjure up all of the wonderful, amazing things that God is able to do. Lord, have mercy. I don't care how smart you are. God has the power to blow your mind. I don't care what you've seen that was off the hook. God has the power to blow your mind. Our minds cannot conjure up all of the wonderful and amazing things that God is able to do. That when you think about what you need most from God, Paul says that's small weight to a giant. And God is a giant God. And I don't know about anybody else in here today, but I've had some things going on in my life that are so major to me, that are too big for me, things that have the ability to keep me up at night. I don't know if y'all have ever had things like that on your mind, things that just bombard your whole life, and you're trying to make it, but it's hard. You're trying to smile when you really want to cry. You don't even want to get out of bed. I don't know about nobody else in here, but I've been through some hell. That had it not been for the Lord who was on my side. And I'm glad that I'm connected to a God that has the power and the ability to handle what I can't, that can carry what would crush me. He's able to do more than I could ever imagine. And beloved, I don't want you to miss the last part, because this last part gets left out often because we get lost in the exceeding abundantly. But don't miss the last part that Paul says, according, Lord have mercy, to the power that worketh in us. And people of God, this is the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. He says that every one of us in this church that believes on Jesus has been gifted, granted, graced with the power of the Holy Spirit. I feel like preaching in here. Oh, Lord have mercy. And we don't need to take that lightly. We shouldn't act as if that's really not a big thing. In fact, I suggest that every time you wake up in the morning, you should thank God for His Holy Spirit. We have all been blessed. Oh, Lord, we've all been blessed with the Holy Spirit when you come into the body of Christ. In fact, the Bible says that no one can come to the Lord unless the Spirit draws them. So each of us who has come into the house of the Lord, it's because His Spirit has drawn us to Him. And watch this, not only were we drawn to the Lord by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, watch this, dwells deep down on the inside. And I don't know about nobody else in here today, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit dwelling deep down on in me. And there's some people in my life. Can I just go ahead and be real about it? There's some people in my life that better, you ought to be. So that you have, Lord have mercy. There's some people in my life that ought to be happy that the Spirit of the Lord is, anybody know what I'm talking about? Because had not the Spirit of the Lord, because if God's Spirit wasn't dwelling deep down on the inside of me, there's a few people who I would have spoken tongues to, and I ain't talking about the tongues of Jesus. Is it anybody in the house that's real enough to admit that? You had a legal right to have lost your mind a few times and give a couple of the people the business, but because God's Spirit is dwelling deep down on the inside of you, you had to keep your peace. You'll always know a blood-bought believer when you see them. Here's how you'll know, is when they're in a confrontation and somebody's coming at them the wrong way, and you see the believer go, you know, stiffen up. You got to stiffen, because if I don't stiffen up, something's going to come out. And I don't know just what it is that might come out, and contingent upon what comes out might be, you know, it might determine where I sleep that night. You'll catch that on the way home. You ever have to be stuck around people that just makes you start saving for bond? It ain't but 2 or 3 days in on the new job, and you already know, yeah, I'm going to have to set apart this check up because I'm going to jail if I stay here. Even Jesus understood that he could not accomplish his mission if he didn't have the Spirit of God on his life. And if you remember in the book of Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, we hear the Messiah saying this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He understood, Jesus understood, that he could not change the world without the power of God's Spirit resting on his life. Beloved, when I'm done with this sermon today, I just want to know that you understand there is a major need for the Holy Spirit. Y'all ain't in here. Y'all ain't hearing me in here today. So let me say it again for the people in the back. Beloved, we have to have the presence and the power of God resting on our lives. Jesus knew it. Jesus knew that we were going to need the Holy Spirit. And so when he rose from the dead, he appeared to several people in Acts chapter 1. And when he said, and when I say he appeared, Lord have mercy, he appeared to them. Listen, and he says this, listen, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. Y'all should have lost your mind right there. What kind of church are we in that you can say, Lord have mercy. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses everywhere you go. So if you are saved, you are supposed to be a talebearer in a positive way. Lord, have mercy. If you got anything to talk to your neighbor about, it's God. Yeah. It's time that you map out your territory. Yeah, that's the one be over cussing all the time. And then see me over at my desk and be like, oh, I'm sorry. They be at the desk. They be at the water fountain at 12:13. They gonna get some word today with that water. Amen. Do y'all know that we are supposed to be witnessing all the time? Do you know how powerful that is? Let me tell you how powerful that is. That's so powerful that it scared the government to the point to where they said, you can't talk about religion on the work site. Yeah. Yeah. There's something about this, Lord, I must just stop right there. Can I just go ahead and say that there is something about the Holy Spirit that gives you a confidence, no matter how soft, scary, or timid you might have been, but it's something about when the Holy Spirit rises up in you. It don't make no, never mind who's in your vicinity. You exemplify for a for God I live and for God I die mentality. And I don't know about nobody else up in here, but I get excited about the Holy Ghost power. The Greek word for this type of power is dunamis, and it is the same word for dynamite. And when you get this type of power, everything changes about you. Everything changes about you. It'll make family members uncomfortable around you. It'll make friends turn their back on you. There's something about this precious Holy Ghost. Woo! Paul lets us know that this type of power comes from a spirit of God. And the Greek word for spirit is pneuma, which literally means the breath of God. So God breathes his breath in you and gives you enablement to do what you could have never done on your own. I dare you look to the person sitting next to you and tell them, I can't make it without him. Y'all all sound like you're lying. Let's try it again. I dare you look to your neighbor and say, I can't make it without him. So God, Lord have mercy. And it's interesting to note that when the apostle begins to open up this book, he begins to tell us that what the Holy Spirit is able to do. And if you go through the first 13 verses of chapter 3, you read Paul talking heavily about the mysteries of God. He also uses the word revelation, and he talks about things being revealed. And this suggests that many things are mysterious to us, but if we have the Spirit of God working deep down on the inside of us, he reveals those things to us so that we can have insight that we couldn't have Lord have mercy, with our normal perception. And you know this is true because if you will recall, the one day Jesus was having a conversation with his disciples, and he reveals one of the most powerful functions of the Holy Ghost. And in this conversation, and you ought to get excited because it says in this conversation, it says Jesus says about the Holy Spirit in John 16:13, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. I'm going to tell you why you didn't lose your mind right there. To find out that this great God has a son named Jesus, and Jesus introduces the New Testament to the Holy Spirit. There's only two reasons why you don't lose your mind when you find out that it wasn't Paul that said it, but that it was Jesus that said, and when the Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit comes, he'll lead you into all truth. Oh, well, he just gave me another one. Lord have mercy. Listen, this is the reason why we don't see people walking into truthful situations is because the Holy Spirit does not abide in them. Listen, beloved. Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Could it be that the Spirit has guided you to truth, but you just didn't like what truth was saying? In fact, is it anybody real enough to admit that you had truth show up in your prayers at your prayer request? You had truth show up through confirmation of somebody saying something to you that they shouldn't have known anything about because you didn't share it with anybody, and you still went a different way. See, this is the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this. He says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. In other words, you don't have to make another bad move. How many of you believe that? Put your hands up. How many of you believe that you don't have to make another bad move? Keep them up. I want to see everybody. All right. Now, here's the deal. For the ones that don't believe that you don't have to make another bad move, it's only because you don't believe what you just heard. This is a faith thing right here. This is a faith thing. And I understand why some people would say, well, you know, I didn't say, will you make another bad move? I said, you don't have to make another bad move. There's a difference. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's a difference. So he says this, and how do we know that we don't have to make another bad move? He says, because when I send the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. Listen, Pastor, he's not just going to tell you where truth is. Brother Lee, you understand what I'm saying? He's not going to tell you, you know, two lights down, you're going to see a Starbucks, go through that intersection and take a left and you're right there. No, he doesn't say that. He says that he's coming with truth in hand. He already knows more about you than you know about yourself. Lord, have mercy. And this is what I want to impress upon you. If you don't believe it, I promise, baby, it won't work. It won't work. This whole thing, while there are churches all over the world operating today, will operate this evening, some of them will operate through the week, is all contingent upon the fact that you believe that he got up. That's right. Let me try to wrap my mind around the Messiah's statement. Did he say that when the Helper, Lord have mercy, when the Helper, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide me into all truth? Let me read that first clause of Scripture again, because I need to be sure that I even heard what I said in John 16 and 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. How many rebellious children we got in here? And I ain't talking about children's church babies. Lord, have mercy. Grounded every time you turn around. That's what the chastisement is. The chastisement is. Grounded every time you turn around. And if you've got a real relationship with God, even though you chose something in the moment over God, on the strength that your relationship was real, you might have messed up, but you do still love him. You might have messed up, but you still believe his word, right? You know, is it anybody tapping into what I'm trying to say right now? When the Spirit of truth comes, and if I follow this precious Spirit, he will lead me into all truth. Single people, put your hands in there and keep them there. Okay, now keep them there. Now I want you to keep them up. How many of you had your heart broken? If you had your heart broken before, let it down. You ain't never had your heart broken? You single and you ain't never had your heart broken? Well, that's a strange mixture. All right. Here's the deal. You know how you be single and don't get your heart broken again? Keep the word of God. Did you say they don't trust me? I'll be setting people up with that raise your hand, don't I? All the seasoned saints in here was like, mm-mm. Told their visiting friends, don't you do it. Don't stop. Listen. Isn't that amazing what God, listen, this is salvation is a gift that keeps on giving. Because even after the cross, he's still blessing us with the Holy Spirit. And guess what he says? Listen, all you got to do is listen to him and he'll lead you right where you need to be. He'll lead you right where you need to be. That's why the Apostle Paul penned those words, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because Paul and Jesus was trying to say, we don't need your thinking. Lord, have mercy. Every time we get your thinking, I got to get you out of trouble. This perplexes me because I'm around self-professing Christians all the time. So if the Spirit of truth is to lead us into all truth, how do we have so many so-called saved folk operating in the falsity of Satan's lie? Will somebody make that make sense for me? Because either Jesus is wrong or some of these folk is lying about who it is that they're following. And since Jesus makes no mistakes and he will never lie, I have to conclude that some of these folks just ain't telling the truth. But do you see why the relationship between you and the Holy Spirit is so important? Because if the Holy Spirit is going to lead me into all truth, that means he's going to warn me when I'm about to do something that is not of God. If the Holy Spirit is going to lead me into all truth, then he's going to let me know when folk don't mean me no good. He's going to tell me when I'm jeopardizing my destiny. Paul says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity, which means the Spirit comes together and takes on the yoke. In other words, the Holy Ghost is, he's filling your drive. The Holy Ghost is filling your temper. The Holy Ghost is filling your passion. The Holy Ghost is filling your energy. And what I love about the Holy Ghost is he does not leave you by yourself, but instead the Holy Ghost is working with you. Lord, have mercy. He's working with you and he's saying, I ain't going to just take it from here, you know. I'm not going to just take it from you. I got to know that you don't want it no more. I have to know that you ain't going to keep running back to it and the very thing that's killing you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I don't know about nobody else in here, if you're anything like me, but every now and again, I need the Holy Ghost to sit on me. That ought to be the prayer. Leaving the house, huh? Holy Ghost, sit on me. When it seems like I'm losing my mind, I need you to sit on me. Every now and again, watch this. You know how like somebody break in your house and you there. In fact, like one time, you remember we had that person that was on the Polk Lane. They was playing with our doorbell at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They didn't know the contents of the house. They didn't understand the people who occupied the house, and they had done this. And so, you know, it's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they hit that doorbell, and watch this. I come from out of the house, around the house, to around the house. Why is this? Because in coming out and coming around with that thing, you understand what I'm saying. I'm protecting what's in the house. Every now and again, the Holy Spirit has to come out and get around and get on top of to stop you from messing up. And he does it. And some of you are trying to figure out, well, if that's the case, why do I keep doing some of the things that I know I shouldn't do? Simple, baby. Because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, listen, man. Oh. I'm telling you, listen here. The church is in an epidemic. It's experiencing what they call that thing we just went through. The church is experiencing a pandemic. And our young people don't know which way to turn. Because since now, you know, our grandmothers are about 35 now. And you could easily catch grandmama in the club. Kids have nowhere to turn. We ain't got no more big mamas that stand on the word of God. And God knew, watch this, God knew all of this was going to happen. Remember, he sat on the mountain and he was in tears. Jesus was in tears. And they said, "Why are you crying?" He says, "Look at what they must go through." He was talking about today. And so now our children, we got to get them to counselors because they don't trust us. They don't trust us with their deepest. And we're trying to figure out why. Because you have not stood on the word of God. Because you have not stood on what you claim. I bet you, if I was a betting man, that if those you brought every child out of that children's church, they will tell you, "I'm stressed. I got some things going on." 7, 8, 9, and 10 years old. How are they having things going on at that age? So God gives us this Holy Spirit. He gives us this Holy Spirit so that we will walk, so that we'll walk in all truth. He gives us this Holy Spirit that when someone does you wrong, before you confront them, you confront yourself first. Do you know that that's a thing that we need to practice? Even when the people are in the wrong and they come to you, before you check them, check you. Because you still have a standard to live up to, being a blood-bought believer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You have a kingdom expectation. You have a kingdom expectation. This Holy Spirit will never lead you wrong. Never. And that's why you stay abiding in God. Come here. This is my grandson. And he asked me a question last week, and it was powerful. He said, "Granddaddy, can I start sitting with you in church?" Now, many of you don't know that I have already prophesied that this will be the next pastor of the Unity Worship Center. Amen. He moved into it'll rotate out and then you see it was somebody before him that wasn't ready for the mantle, but he ready. And you'd be surprised to know how many of them up in there. Back there, all through our children's church, you'd be surprised how many Joshuas we got. You'd be surprised how many Davids we got. You'd be surprised how many Esthers we got. I'm talking about we got some bad shut your mouths back behind this wall. You understand what I'm saying to you? And they're coming up and saying, hey, I want to sit with you. I need to figure out why life is the way it is for me. And I'm not in no knock to children's church, but I'm dealing with grown man issues in a childlike body. But he got enough sense to say, hey, man, I need to stay up under you. I need to learn. And when they come down and you got yours and you tell them, you say, are you being bullied? Do you find yourself depressed sometimes? Are you sad? You'd be so, so surprised at how many would, at the answers that you would get. You can have a seat, grandson. We have to, as adults of the Unity Worship Center, and I'm done, as adults, we got to get this thing right, because we have young lions, no pun intended. We have young lions already under attack because Satan understands what's on them when mama and daddy don't. So we got to teach this thing, and we got to receive this thing, and we got to apply this thing. Because the moment you decided to be a part of the Unity Worship Center, you put everything you loved in jeopardy. And the only way they stay safe in this war is that you walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. If we have anybody in the building today that desires to give your life to Jesus, we offer you the invitation to come on down. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, we invite you to come on down. Ooh. If you're tired of how it just continues to happen, Lord, have mercy. How about you? There's room at the cross. You don't always have to be overwhelmed. You can be above and not beneath. You can be the first and not the last. You can live and not die. This is a special altar call today. If you desire, and God knows, watch this, He knows that you're not going to speak in tongues and theeth and thoueth overnight. And He's not asking you to, boom, just change like that. Some of us been going through hell for 30, 40 years. You ain't gonna be preached out in 45 minutes. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this is real when you get a sermon like today and then people say, no, I want to give my life to the Lord. People like to get saved off, you know, when people's running around the building and all of that. This is something special. What's your name? Tell me your name.
Shermaine.
Mm-hmm. You from here? Do I know you?
You might.
Why? How old are you, Shermaine?
23.
Shermaine, all right. Is it all right to lay hands on you? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Ha, yeah. Lord told me to tell you it's going to be all right. Weeping may endure for the night. But joy comes in the morning. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, ha, Lord, have mercy. God, we come up against this pain. Father, you are sovereign. You know everything this young woman of God has been through. So, Lord, I ask that you lift her up right now and heal her on this side of glory. I come up against every attack that comes up against her. I come up against haters in her life. I come up against, Lord, have mercy. Listen, the Bible says that if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth and believe that God has raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. Do you confess with your mouth Jesus today?
Yes.
And do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead?
Yes.
Then the Bible says you are saved. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak, decree, and declare power. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you infuse her with your Holy Ghost power. You give her the ability to say yes to what needs to be yes, said yes to, and no to what needs to be said no to. We come up against every demon, every imp, every djinn. And we speak victory, victory in Jesus' name. You're powerful. You're powerful. You're powerful. I don't care how it went down, you're powerful. He's got something for you. The Lord's got something for you, I promise. Yeah. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. What'd you say? How you been doing, baby girl? All right to lay hands on you? It's okay. Take the hurt away. Take the pain away. The Bible says that he who believes in me will by no means be put to shame. Been some unreal people in your life here lately. He says, if you'll believe on me, though, you won't be the butt of the joke anymore. You won't be hurt, left for dead ever again. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift this baby up to you.